Getting to know you. That is not my name tag, by the way, on the screen. I am not God. Good thing, because I would be a lousy at the job. But we are getting to know God. We have been spending this entire year looking for our passion for God. And we've gone on a lot of places looking. And so we have decided that the best way to develop a passion for God is actually get to know God. Shakespeare says, "A rose by any other name would be just as sweet." And while that's a true statement, we found out last week that names mean something. Especially when it comes to God, because God gave himself lots of names when it comes to Scripture. God gave himself names that we began looking at last week. We began looking at the what we call the base names. We looked at the name Elohim. And that means the Almighty, that means the great mighty three in one God. We looked at the name El Shaddai. We looked at the name that suggested that is the God Almighty, and so God called himself that. We looked at the name Yahweh, and that is the name that actually means I am. That is the personal name of God that when Moses said, when the Israelites tell me who sent me, he simply says, tell them, I am that I am. I exist because I exist. And it is the name that was translated Yahweh in the Hebrew, but also translated the word Jehovah as the years go on. I am. So if that's the first name of God, we also have multiple names for us, right? My name is Barry. If you came up and asked me to introduce myself, I would probably say Barry, unless I am in a formal setting. And then I would say my name is Barry Creasy. I have a last name. I have a middle name too, but we're not talking about the middle name today. Yeah, my son has a question. Yes. Yeah, my kids call me Daddy, so we'll call that a nickname. So I have names, but I have a first and I have a last name. And well, you know what? God is calls himself Jehovah. But as we walk through the Old Testament, we find out Jehovah had a lot of last names that goes with it. As a matter of fact, he has 9 of them. 9 last names. And so, coincidentally, between now and the rebirthing service in October, that's 9 weeks. Amazing how math works out here. So we have 9 names to study. We have 9 weeks until our happy rebirthday party. And so guess what we're going to do? We're going to take these names one by one, and we're going to get to know God by looking at what he calls himself. And we're not going to take the list in order as you see it here. As a matter of fact, today we're going to start right at the bottom of the list, and we're going to study Jehovah Rohi. All right, now, that's how you pronounce it. It's Jehovah Rohi. Now it's your turn. Jehovah Rohi. Now, wouldn't you like to know what you just said? It's always good to know what you're saying when you go out. And really what you're saying is Jehovah Rohi means the Lord my shepherd. Now, note we're missing a word from Psalm 23. That starts out, the Lord is my shepherd. Jehovah Rohi simply means the Lord my shepherd. Well, okay. Shepherd. God calls himself Jehovah Rohi, my shepherd. And so to be a shepherd, there is one thing you must have. If you don't have this, you cannot be a shepherd. You have to have sheep. And God has sheep, is what we've been singing on all morning. We are the sheep. There we go. Somebody got it. We are the sheep. And because we are the sheep, there are a few things you need to know about sheep. Sheep, well, they tend to go their own way. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us have turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of all. So the Bible clearly says that as a sheep, left to my own demise, I tend to wander. I tend to go where I want to go. I don't always think about the consequences of what I'm doing. I don't always think about the issues it's going to cause in my life. I don't always tend to think about the danger I might be putting myself into. I just know I'm a sheep, and so I see grass over there, and that grass looks greener than the grass I'm eating. So here I go. And then I look over here and I see water and I think, oh, I'm thirsty. So I just go this way. And I don't ever think about the consequences around. That kind of describes us, doesn't it? We, the sheep, tend to do the same thing. We go through our lives looking around what we think we want, what we think we desire, and we tend to gravitate that way, and so we wander. And this can be very dangerous for sheep. Now, there's another thing that you should know about a sheep. Because we tend to wander, we absolutely, positively, 100% need a shepherd. In Numbers chapter 27, verse 17, we begin to get introduced to the idea of a shepherd. It ends off to say, to go out and to come in before them, one who will lead them out and bring them in so the Lord's people will not be like sheep without a shepherd. We need somebody in our life that's going to give us some guidance. Somebody in our life that's going to lead us. Somebody in our life that's going to let us know, yeah, that grass is greener, but you see the woods all around that patch of grass? You know what lives in the woods? The wolves. So we don't go toward that patch of grass because in that patch of grass, while you may get nice, fresh, green grass, you're probably also going to be dinner. That's just the way it works. That's the job of a shepherd, to go out and stake out the area and make sure we, the sheep, are there. We need somebody that we can turn to. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and the overseer of your souls. We need somebody not only to protect us, not only to guide us, we need somebody that's going to oversee our life in general, and somebody that I am willing to trust enough to put my life in their hands, to know that they always have the best interest for me. Now, we would like to call those parents. I mean, I know a lot of times my kids don't think that I have their best interest at heart. I do. Sometimes that does not translate well into conversations. I do have my kids' best interest at heart. And a lot of times I look at them and say, well, if you would just listen to me. How many times have you said that, parents? If you would just listen to me, I'm sure God feels that same way. The Lord, my shepherd, says, if you'll just listen to me, your life will be so much better. Now, for me to hire God as my shepherd, I want to take this kind of like a job interview. How many people have been on a job interview before? All the kids like, not me. Mm-mm, I don't go on a job interview. Yeah, you will. Just give it a few years. So what I want to do is I want to look at God's resume for being my shepherd. Okay. Where could I find God in his resume? Very familiar passage. If you have your copy of God's Word this morning, turn to Psalm 20. I'm tongue-tied this morning. I've been singing too many sheep songs. Everything wants to come out wrong. Turn to Psalm chapter 23. I'm going to read the resume, and then we're going to break it down one qualification at a time to let you see why it is you want to know Jehovah Rohi, the Lord my shepherd. This is David writing, and this is what he says. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack for nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his namesake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You may have this verse written on something at your house. It's something that a lot of us have heard. We hear it done a lot at funerals when we talk about the Lord is my shepherd. But it is so much more than just a comforting verse for us to cling on to when we're standing around a casket. It is actually God telling us, this is what, if you will let me be your shepherd, this is what I have in store for your life. So let's get to know the shepherd. And he begins out by saying, he'll meet your needs. It says, I lack for nothing. Now, I want you to grasp that. That is not God's the gumball machine. You don't get to put a quarter in and flip the switch, and out comes the gumball that you want. God is not a video game. God does not work that way. God is not saying, you ask and I give. He's not a genie in a lamp. He's not Santa Claus. That's not what he's saying. But he's saying, you put your life in my hands. The things that you need, the things that you have to have in your life, you will lack for nothing. He's even concerned about my most basic need. What are the most basic needs for sheep? Well, he tells us. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside quiet waters. Food and water. The most basic need of a physical need of a sheep is food and water, and he makes sure he understands, you put your life in my hands as my sheep, then I am going to lead you to green pastures, where there are places, there are open spaces, where there is food to eat, where there are things that will meet that need. And by the way, I'm going to bring you to quiet waters. Now, that's important. I don't know a whole lot about sheep. I've only had one experience with a sheep in my entire life. Not sharing that story today, but I will never have that experience again. Trust me. So I've only had one sheep experience in my entire life. But here's what I do know. Sheep have a big fat body and little bitty legs. Not hard to figure out here. And so sheep are not the most stable creatures in the world. As a matter of fact, there is actually the possibility they can lay down and be so fat they can't get themselves back up. That's just the way a sheep can work at some time. And so it is important that as a shepherd, that when I bring them to water, the water has to be still. Because if the sheep gets into a running water, into a river, sheep don't float. It just doesn't work that way. And so he says, I'm going to lead you to quiet waters. I'm going to lead you to places where your basic needs can be met. And not only that, they can be met safely. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to minister to not just your physical needs, but I'm going to minister to your soul. I'm going to meet your spiritual needs as well as what he tells us. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. He's going to give me instruction on which the safe route to take. Now keep in mind, I may not always like the way he wants me to go. He may put some constraints on my life that I think are uncomfortable. He may put some constraints on my life that I think are unfair. But you have to understand the job of the shepherd. He is the shepherd that is there to guide our life along the right path, to meet our spiritual needs. He will definitely guide us. Now that all sounds really good, except for the next part of the verse we get to, and we don't want to leave this out, because I like the way Jesus, the way David lays out this resume for what eventually becomes the good shepherd Jesus, because he doesn't say you're never going to have any problems. It's never going to be perfect, because that's what it says. Though I walk through the darkest valleys. See, the shepherd doesn't make the promise that you'll never face darkness. It just means you never have to face darkness alone. It does not mean that you won't ever have crisis of life. It does not mean you won't have to deal with illnesses in your life. It does not mean you won't have to deal with conflict in your life. It doesn't mean that everything is rainbows and sunshine. It doesn't mean that. It just means you don't ever have to walk for it alone. He's willing to take the journey with you. Now, in that journey, he tells us about his rod and his staff. And he will protect, and you have to get this, he will discipline. The shepherd carries this wonderful stick that has the hook on the end of it. And that stick serves two purposes. The first thing is therefore is if a sheep begins to stray away from the flock, you know what that hook is used for? Put it out around the neck and go, whoop. Sometimes I like to have one of these as a parent. It works so much better. And the idea is if the shepherd sees the sheep wandering, then you know what? He can jerk them back in. You know what else that staff can be used for? It's kind of like a bow staff. If a wolf is attacking, they can use this staff. They are trained martial arts guys, I guess. I don't know how they train them, but they can use this staff to fight off wolves, and David even says a bear and a tiger. I don't know what else they fight, but they can fight off. They can protect the sheep. But at the end of that staff, there's a hook, and we don't usually pay attention to the other end. The other side is almost like a tape club. Do you know what that's used for? For a sheep that consistently wanders away and he keeps having to jerk them back, if it's a little baby sheep, you know what they'll do with that club? They'll take that club and they'll strike the leg of the baby sheep and they'll actually break the leg of the sheep. Oh, that sounds cruel. But the reason they do this is because the shepherd knows that the baby sheep keeps wandering, it's going to get hurt. And so they will actually, he will discipline the baby sheep by breaking the legs and then nursing the sheep back to health so that the sheep learns to trust him and stops wandering. You have to understand, that's part of God's plan. When he says, the Lord is shepherd, my shepherd, Jehovah Rohi, you have to understand, he is going to care about your life. And that means if you start to wander, sometimes you might get the hook. Sometimes you might get the club. But he's got your best interest at heart. You need to understand this idea. Not only is he going to protect you, he's not going to let your enemy to overtake you. You know, we read in the scripture where we're pressed on every side. We have stress all around us, but we don't break. Again, it's not that your enemy isn't going to be present. It isn't that your enemy isn't going to sometimes have a little success. But you will not be overtaken by your enemy with Jehovah Rohi. He says he's going to bless our lives. Man, I could use some blessing in my life. See, not only is he going to give us the things that we need, he's also sometimes going to overextend. Our cup is going to overflow. He's going to bless our lives in such a way that people around us will see the goodness of Jehovah Rohi so that we can introduce them to the God that is leading us. You realize that's the purpose of blessings, right? They aren't so that you can go out and buy the bigger car, the bigger house, and more toys. The purpose of blessings is so that people can look at your life and say, what are you investing in? Because I'd like to have some of that. Well, let me tell you what I'm investing in. I'm investing in Jehovah Rohi. And this is my return on investment. Would you like to meet him? See, that's the Lord, my shepherd. He provides for us an eternal resting spot. You know, I don't spend a lot of time worrying about this outer shell. You can probably tell. I mean, it's gotten older. It's got more aches and pains than it used to. It gains weight faster than it used to. It hurts more often. I went bowling last night with my son for his birthday, and I was feeling it when I got home. I spent last night with a heating pad because I'm not supposed to bowl because I have back issues, but I did it anyway. See, I could have used a shepherd. Don't go bowling. But anyway, so I went out, and I'm feeling it, but this body that I'm in, this thing, this isn't me. This is just the outer shell, and someday this shell is going to give out, and the rest of me has got to have somewhere to go. And God says, Jehovah Rohi, I'll provide you a place that you can live forever in peace. And that's a pretty impressive resume, isn't it? This is a God that I could get to know. This is a God that I could get to like a whole bunch. Jehovah Rohi is a shepherd. But you do understand something, right? He is the shepherd. But for him to be your shepherd, you have to respond to him. In John chapter 10, verses 1 through 30, I'm not reading 30 verses. Trust me, you don't want me to read 30 verses. We're going to kind of hit the highlights on this. He outlines himself as the good shepherd. The good shepherd. And he talks about his relationship with the sheep. And so I want you to see what is the proper way for you to respond to Jehovah Rohi. If you're interested in the Lord my shepherd, there are some things that he kind of expects from you. And the first thing he expects is he speaks, we listen. Sheep don't argue a whole bunch. Have you ever noticed that? I mean, they baa. And I guess maybe at times they'll whine. They'll kind of get a baa, man, like a little whiny baa. I don't know what they get. I don't speak sheep. I don't speak well either. I went to see Dora. I don't speak well either. But you have to understand that the idea is that God says, I am going to speak. And you know what? You are required to listen. Okay. I can do that. I can open my ears and I can listen to what God says. But then there's the next step. When they hear his voice, in John chapter 10, it says, they follow him. Now, that means that when he says, let's go, and he starts walking, the intent is the sheep just kind of get right in behind him. It's kind of like a sheep parade. Here we go. Down. God goes and we follow. That is, if he's my shepherd. If he's not, then the shepherd is going to walk, and well, I'm not going to follow him, because as a sheep, They know the shepherd so well, they will never follow a stranger whose voice they do not know. Now, I want you to fathom this. If he is your shepherd, if you have made him Jehovah Rohi for you, that means all of the other voices that are around you, that are screaming for your attention, go do this, go do that, live your life this way, go eat at this pasture, go drink at this, all the other distractions that are around you, if you have made him Jehovah Rohi, that means you can focus on your shepherd, on who you're following, and all the distractions can literally become white noise. Now, I have to tell you, that's easy to preach, that's hard to do. I have a lot of white noise in my life that begs for my attention. And you know what? A lot of times I take my eye off the shepherd and I'm like, ooh, that was pretty. And I go that way. Or, ooh, I need that. And I go that way. But God says, you know what? If you're my sheep, keep your focus on me and follow me. And I won't let you go. You won't even be able to hear the other voices of the people around you. All those distractions that are pulling you one way and the other. You see, that's the way this works. The sheep and the shepherd, and I know this sounds weird, but I'm going to explain it. They have an intimate relationship. The sheep and the shepherd, it isn't like somebody that's just getting sheep to have them to process. The sheep and the shepherd have an intimate relationship, and here's the way the relationship is supposed to work. See, in the sheepfold, there is but one gate. Now, you have to understand what a sheepfold is. A sheepfold is a great big pen. And in biblical times, all the shepherds would get to the community area at the night, and everybody would put their sheep in the same little sheep pen. And then in the morning, they didn't have braids or brands or stamps or anything. In the morning, they would sort out whose sheep is who. Okay, and there was no gate. It was just an opening in the fence. That was the gate. And so what would happen is in the opening, the shepherd is the gate by which the sheep enter. The shepherd would literally sleep across these openings to make sure nobody can get to the sheep unless you come through him. Now, you do realize that means. That means if a wolf wants to have the sheep and the shepherd falls asleep and he's laying across the gate, guess what's going to happen first? The shepherd is putting his life in danger to protect the sheep. He has to set his needs aside so that our needs can be met. We need to realize that. See, the good shepherd is willing to lay down his life for his sheep. And that's what he did. That is what Jesus did when he laid down his life. And because of that, just like in Psalm it says, he is able to provide us life so that we can have life to the full. God wants to make sure your life is full. Now, I want to tell you, my life is full. Come see our calendar. It'll depress you. We have a very full life, but that's not what God's talking about. Not busy. I want to make sure your life is complete. And I'm going to give you life that can be called eternal life. Not just life that's here, but life that's going to move in past this world and on out in. And he gives us a couple of backup scriptures to back that up. In verse 10, he is able to provide life so that I might have life to the full. In verse 38 through 39, it says in Romans, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither present nor future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in," and here's the name of the good shepherd, "Christ Jesus our Lord." That's quite a list. If I make God my shepherd, it says that there is nothing that can separate me from God. Not natural disasters, not wars, not life problems, not illnesses, not diseases, not other people. Nothing can separate me. You notice there is one thing missing from the list. You. Did you catch that? Look at that list. You. You have the choice to choose to go your own way. You have your choice to do the things that you want to do, or you have the choice to follow the shepherd, Jehovah Rohi. And because of that, we need to realize there is one flock. Now, I realize coming into Stanton this morning, you probably passed 100 churches. There seems to be one on every corner. There's actually a spot in Stanton, I'm not kidding you, where there is a corner that has four spots, and there's a church on every corner. Literally. It's just there. There are four churches, and they were all bunched in right there together. But you do realize why there's all these different churches. There is but one flock. Jesus tells us in John chapter 10, verse 16, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice. And there shall be one flock and one shepherd. And what God is trying to tell us is there are more than just this pen. There are other sheep pens out there that are following me as well. So don't you worry about those pens. We have to worry about this pen. We have to worry about the people that are right. Are we Stanton Church of Christ? Are we Jehovah Ruhi? Is the Lord your shepherd? You see, when it all is said and done, from your perspective, it doesn't matter if the Lord is my shepherd. Okay? Because if the Lord is my shepherd, I know which way I'm going. I know who I'm following. I know who's running my life. I know what I'm doing. See, what I have decided is important to only one person. Me. This is an individual decision that each and every one of us has to make. Who are you going to follow in your life? Are you going to do things your way? Are you going to do things the world's way? Or are you going to do things Jehovah Rohi, God's way, and make him the shepherd of your life? And now that you know what it means to have him as your shepherd, I've given you some thought. Do you want to get to know this God? The God is not just interested in you praying to him and coming to worship him one time a week. He wants to be your shepherd, involved in your life each and every day, leading you where you need to go. It's your decision. I can't make it for you. I can't make it for my kids. I can't make it for my wife. I can't make it for my parents. I can only make that decision for me. Just as you have to choose for yourself.